you're listening pretty late, and I'm really nervous because I grew up. We're not that far apart in age, so I'm excited to have Ralph Macchio in the studio with me. I just read earlier that you read The Outsiders when you were 12. Is that about
yes.
right?
Yes, yes, I did,
and so did I. Yeah. And it was one of my favorite books. We also have in studio with us Dr. Charles Turk, who I invited because he interviewed some of our guests last year for Wizard World, and always has something different to bring.
Oh, that's good, because I didn't know this, so I thought I was going to be broken down medically or mentally. Or
no, doctor of pharmacy, so we'll just yes. talk about the drugs that you're on.
That's good, that's good. We'll get into taken. That a little bit later.
Yeah, I've got some Zantac. Does that count?
Okay.
You're in Chicago for Wizard World, and I know that people gush all the time when they see you. You get a lot of gushing. There has to be
some gushing. So, at Wizard World, at the Comic Cons, yeah, because the fans, you know, it's a real fan experience. So that's part of it. So it's a good give back. It's worse. It's better than not gushing or being annoyed.
Right, or being ignored.
Or being ignored.
You won't be ignored.
Exactly. Exactly.
You're a dad, and I wonder how much that has changed the way you look at fans coming up to you. When you see your kids sort of grabbing onto something that they really love, does that have an effect on the way you approach fans?
That's a great question. I think the thing that gets me most excited about doing the Comic Cons and meeting the fans are the kids, because not only they're so wide-eyed and excited, but more so, it solidifies the truth that the legacy of some of these films, say, you know, for Outsiders, Karate Kid, My Cousin Vinny, or whatever, that they share those experiences with their parents, and so that's going to carry on. Or whether, like a guest spot on How I Met Your Mother, a lot of these kids say, oh, I loved you on How I Met Your Mother, and then I saw the Karate Kid movie, because they hadn't seen it to that point.
Right.
So I think it resonates for me now as a parent to when you – I do the same thing with my kids. I just watched Stand By Me with my son the other day.
Right.
He'd never seen that film. I said, you have to watch. This is a great coming-of-age father-son kind of movie. You know, so I got to re-experience that film that I saw four times in the movie theater in 1980, whatever, mm-hmm. with my son. So I think that's part of it, and that's why I thought that's a good question.
Well, and the Karate Kid, when you talk about re-experiencing something with your kids, watching that with my son, who is 12, he's into martial arts, and one of the reasons I got him involved with that was, I think, because of Daniel LaRusso. Mm-hmm. You know, the idea that I knew that you know, that my son might have, when he was five, it was clear that he was always kind of, his imagination was much bigger than people would ever understand, you know,
right.
Because he was always kind of distracted by storytelling in his head. And I knew that he might be vulnerable to bullies or kids mm-hmm. that would pick on him. So I think that, you know, there's an empowering element to, you know, Daniel LaRusso sort of being able to stand up for himself.
Right.
Against all odds.
Right. Well, that, you know, that character has, you know, grown beyond belief of
yes.
when we just made this movie and thought maybe might be pretty cool and survive the summer with, you know, Ghostbusters being the big hit that year.
I didn't even realize those came out the same year.
Yeah, same year, same studio. It was Columbia Pictures. And Karate Kid was this sleeper that just kept going and going and going, and over time became pop culture. And now we're talking 32 years later, which is ridiculous. How could that be? I'm only 27.
Yeah, right.
It shaped a lot of childhoods, you know, a lot of, in a way, people related to this character, whether it was a fish out of water element, whether it was a child of a single parent scenario.
Right.
Everybody wants their little human Yoda, Mr. Miyagi, to give them, you know, to help navigate through that part of adolescence, or someone moving for, you know, a different town. Feeling the outsider. How about that?
Together, yeah.
So it does connect in that way, and it really doesn't offend anybody. It is very empowering. I guess it offends bullies.
Right, you know, yeah.
They're offended.
And they should take it.
Right.
Yeah.
But otherwise, you know, it is life-affirming, empowering,
yes.
It works on a human level, that story, as much as we have all the get them with body bags and catching flies with chopsticks and waxing on, waxing off and whatever, sweep the legs. It's really about the human It works on a human level, you know, and that's why the film has stood the test of time.
You know, what's interesting is you talk about it being a sleeper hit, and, you know, and I'm sure that you've heard several stories like this from fans, but, I mean, certainly, from what I understand, there was an explosion of interest in martial arts training from kids who were interested, who idolized your character, Danny LaRusso, and certainly I can identify with that. My friends and I certainly participated in martial arts training. I think after that movie came out, although I wasn't aware of a phenomenon sweeping the nation, we simply liked the film.
I had a dollar for every kid who took martial.
Yeah, certainly. You know, I've no doubt about that. But I have a question that's sort of similar to Patty's, and it has to do with. With your role as a father now, although less to do with people coming up to you as fans, has to do with your role as an actor and a director and just a creator, as a creator. How does your role as a father inform your work?
Well, I think. It depends on what the piece is. I mean, certainly from an actor's from the acting side of it, you know, if I'm playing a father or if I'm playing a mentor now, which is kind of fun because I've always played the student, or I did for a long time. I think it informs in that way because having portrayed the students in certain films like Crossroads and Karate Kid for that matter. Playing the mentor or the father figure, I sort of understand from being on the flip side of that. I mean, we all do as now adults because we grew through it. I think, you know, my sensibilities as a father and as a parent, I think gives information to the portrayal of the character. I mean, now I'm playing a character who's a vice cop in 1970s New York City. He's not a father, so I would say in that case, it's not really informing that character, but it's like anything else you experience in life. You take those experiences and you try to be as truthful to you can as you can to, you know, the dialogue and the portrayal of the character. I just think as you get older, you know, and you gain wisdom, or you like to believe you do, that informs everything you do in life, in work, and in life.
And so in some ways, it may not even necessarily be a direct, you know, directly informing you, but sort of, you know, even indirectly. I mean, you sort of gradually evolved, I think, as a human being, perhaps.
Right. I think it does. I mean, in films, I've directed two short films, one called Across Grace Alley with Marsha Mason and Karina Smirnoff, for my partner from Dancing with the Stars, and another one called Love Thy Brother, and they both dealt with adolescent coming of age. One was a comedy, one was a dramatic musical, sort of dramatic piece, and the parental side of me informed a lot of that work because I was working with young kids, you know, 12, 13 years old, and so to answer your earlier question, a lot of how I approached that and told those stories, wrote those stories and created that environment for those young actors was from a parental perspective. Interesting.
And you're doing Wizard World this weekend. How much have you been involved with doing the conventions, the Comic-Cons?
The last couple of years, more so. They've become very – I've sort of figured out how I get a lot from it and the fans get a lot from it. When you first look at them, it's just a packed convention house. Yes. It's a lot of noise, a lot of people, and a lot of crowd control.
Yes.
And sort of you usually want to run in the other direction. Mm-hmm. But when you come from a perspective like I do, and you see how happy it makes everyone.
Right.
I like taking that time. I like giving little pieces, tidbits of information that they could take that they didn't expect, as opposed to let's take a picture, let's sign an autograph. And that inspires me because they light up when, you know, and I get, you know, whether I get the grandmothers from Dancing with the Stars or the 6-year-old kids who want to, who put their headband on and want to show me their crane kick, or the girls who come up at 17 years old with the book The Outsiders and I write Stay Gold and then have to tell them that I am married and I could be their grandfather. It's they all, and then the amount of Christmas cards that come out of it. You take the family shot and boom, that's, they put it up and that's their Christmas card. It's a give back. I get as much out of it as they do. And it also helps carry on the legacy of some of these films and some of these roles that, that I've done. And it also branches out on the new stuff that I'm doing, the new work. And they, that's the first thing they say, when's the next thing, what's coming up? And I let them know. And before you know it, on social media, they're all telling their friends, this show is coming out. And I met Ralph the other day and I can't wait to watch it. So you can self-promote current work and yet embrace the nostalgia of which they're built on. So I figured out a way that I really enjoy it, and they get a lot out of it. And, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Right, because it's important to protect that part of yourself, I think, when you're involved in that, when you're somebody that we look up to and have for so long.
Yeah. And everyone's, I mean, I think maybe years back there was a stigma to these sort of Comic-Cons. That is not the case anymore. I mean, if you look at the lineup that's coming this weekend and the caliber of folks from yesteryear and today, there's no, you use it to promote current work as well as talk about what got you there in the first place. And it's pretty impressive.
Well, let's talk a little more in a moment. We'll take a quick break and find out what is coming up next with Ralph Macchio. He's at the Wizard World this weekend. What days are you at the?
I'll be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
The whole weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. I might wear a Batgirl costume. I'm not sure what I'm wearing yet. I like to dress up. My son and I like to dress up for it.
That's part of the fun.
It is.
As long as I could just dress up as me and not have to do anything else. Let you guys dress up as
and I think we all
characters.
We appreciate you just the way you are. Believe me. More after this on Pretty Late with Patti Vasquez, 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late, and I've just been telling our guest, Ralph Macchio, how nervous I am, and I'll say it over and over. It's so bizarre. I heard you on Bill and Wendy, and someone said they had found their tiger beat and had that sheet of all the things. I had all those. You were in my locker.
Crazy time.
You know, changing classes, and I'm like, there's Ralph. Yes. We also joined by Dr. Charles Turk, who is joining us on the conversation, and you mentioned that Wizard World is an opportunity to let people know what's coming up next for you. So what is coming up next?
Well, right now I've been shooting a show called The Deuce for HBO. I don't know when it's going to air. It'll be sometime in 2017. It's a new David Simon series.
Oh,
who did The Wire
what?
And Homicide Live on the Street. It's very cool. The headliners are James Franco and Maggie Gyllenhaal. I play a vice cop. This is 1971 42nd Street, when 42nd Street wasn't Disneyland like it is now. And I can't go into much detail on top of that just because HBO is very specific about us not talking about the show more than what they've just announced. But, you know, I have a recurring role. I've done about four of the what will be a total of 8 episodes in the first season. And I think they have, a long-term look at multiple seasons if it takes off.
That's
so
great.
It's very, very exciting, cool role for me. And so I'm looking forward to that. I'm also working on something, a short content comedy thing for television that's pretty close to getting the green light, but I can't really pitch it till it's...
Sure.
You got, because it's all virtual maybe. Till it's on the air.
I know. I know you start out with something like it's so quick and furious and you're so excited about it. But
you got to get to the point where you actually have an air.
Cameras
date.
Are rolling.
Otherwise,
to
tell the fans that. And then then I have to keep going to Wizard World Comic Cons and they say, so when's that show that you said was going to be on? So and then they just killed it. And you got to.
Yeah.
So it's better to know you got something in the can. And
there's
a few other things. A few other things going on as well. Really soon.
Yeah, and people don't get that sort of, it seems like a minor thing to people. Oh, you know, you're successful and you've got all, you don't have a hard job. People are just asking. Well, but it's 1,000 people asking.
Yes. Right?
It's over and over.
Thousands.
Repeatedly. So just stop asking. He's telling you the good stuff. Charles, did you have?
Oh, yeah. So your present project. I mean, you grew up in you were born in New York.
In New York, in the burbs of New York, not New York City.
Got it. Okay. so are you drawing on some of – how long were you in the New York area before I assume you relocated at some point?
I'm always New York.
Oh, you are? Oh.
Always.
Oh.
I spent a lot of time in Los Angeles.
Okay.
I lived there for 2 years, 80 and 81.
Got it.
When I was on eight is enough, or as I say, nine was too many. See, another laugh. The next station's going to hear the joke. It works every time. But I tested. I used it, so you responded well. So I lived in L.A. during that time.
I'd assume that you had relocated at some point, as your career was growing and burgeoning.
I could have and maybe should have during the lean years, but I chose to keep one foot in and one foot out. Mm-hmm. I always lived back in my home base area
a lot of times. Yeah, that's a lot of times how they feel. I mean, you can't really.
You do lose opportunities by not being in it all the time, and I probably did, but at the end of the day, as they say, it's a trade off.
But don't you think you kind of protect yourself?
Yep,
your soul, really. I mean, to be where where you know everything. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I feel about Chicago.
Yeah. For me, it was all about sports. I was, Mets, Jets, Islanders. I can't be in L.A. and root for the Kings and the Dodgers. Can't happen.
It makes complete sense.
So I'm a sports guy as well.
And how much of your role as a police officer in the new series has to do with having been on Psych?
Psych was great.
Oh, my God. I screamed. I screamed when I was like, because I didn't see any of the promos.
Yeah. It was so fun. Those guys are great. James Rodé and Dulé Hill. They're awesome. And so I got to do two episodes. I got to do the Police Academy episode and the remake episode,
right?
Cloudy with the Chance of Improvement, where I poked fun at my cousin Vinny. It's very cool because that show did a beautiful job of peppering all that 80s
nostalgia.
Pop nostalgia,
yeah.
And really being smart about it. And the project that I mentioned the comedy, short content comedy mm-hmm. thing that I'm working on has elements of that, I'm hoping. So you'd be really smart and just draw on some of that nostalgia.
Well, and the timing you had in that episode in the Police Academy one was just delightful.
He's such a
so
doofus
good.
Character.
So cute,
so
though.
So hard-ass, and at the end was just a mush bag. Couldn't even... It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, it was really wonderful. And I have to tell you, you mentioned Crossroads earlier. We had in studio last night Wayne Baker Brooks, who's a son of Lonnie Brooks, and he wanted me to mention how much he enjoyed that film.
That's cool. Well, listen, we're in Chicago, Blues Town, mm-hmm. I mean... Chicago was mentioned in that movie a bunch, even though Crossroads was mainly Mississippi and all that, the Robert Johnson, before electricity, before Muddy Waters invented electricity, as they said,
right.
that was the line from the movie. It's great. We get a lot of shade. I'm sure I'm going to hear a lot of Crossroads and get a lot of people with Crossroads pictures this weekend because, after all, we're in Chicago.
Are there roles that you have... that you filled that you're surprised when someone latched onto that one in particular, because there's a Karate Kid, there's Johnny,
yeah,
Johnny Boy.
Those are the main, Karate Kid, Johnny and the Outsiders, my cousin Vinny. Crossroads comes up a lot, more than people would think. Because first of all, if you're from the music world, musicians, that film, they'll watch the final duel of that movie and just... Being able to master that Eugene Bag of Tricks guitar duel is a plateau for guitar players around the world. It's unbelievable. I'm not so sure if I think of, I think those are the ones. But Crossroads probably on the outskirts of the ones that's not in that has a big cult following.
A couple of things strike me about you and your career. I mean, one of them is that you have a great sense of humor about it. I mean, you talk about having sort of poke fun of your character on My Cousin Vinny. And I know, too, that you had made a Funnier Die video.
Greatest Funnier Die video ever. Wax on, F off.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, which is great. So, so now you've made fun of, or poked fun at two of your characters.
Right.
You've got a great sense of humor about it. And we talked a little bit earlier, too, about some of the parallels between, some of your on-screen experience and also just sort of living through life as well. I was kind of curious, too. I did some reading about maybe your relationship, and I was wondering if I could ask about your relationship, sort of on-screen and off, with Pat Morita.
Mm-hmm.
He plays your sensei in Karate Kid. And had you spoken briefly at his funeral?
Yes.
I think that I'd read that you'd said that he was your forever sensei.
Yeah, I thought that was just a line that came to me that made sense. And obviously the press and anyone else picked up on it, and it paid off exactly how I'd hoped. There was a magic there. I call it soulful magic, because that's what a lot of that film had. When people ask me about the remake versus that movie, that's the big difference.
Right.
One of the big differences. But I think, you could try to cast that. You could try to create that. It either happens or it doesn't. That sort of magic of those two characters on screen that becomes part of pop culture. And so we had that. It just was very easy to work with him, and creating those characters. Over the years, we would stay in touch. He was always better at staying in touch than I was. But about a year before he passed away, they did a thing at Lincoln Center, the Asian American Association. I forget exactly what it's called, but they gave him a Lifetime Achievement Award, and he asked that I do his intro speech. And I did, and it was at Lincoln Center, just spectacular. It was the first time we were seen on stage in 20 years. The place went insane. But I got to say everything I would ever want to say.
Oh, it's lovely.
And it was quite beautiful. And so when he passed away, I felt comforted by the fact that I got to say all those things, because that's years later, 20 years later, 19 years later at that point, and the film came out, that I was able to look back and sort of recognize what a blessing and privilege it was. My forever sensei is probably less about him necessarily being that in my personal life, even though he was a close friend and someone I regarded, but more about how in everybody's hearts and minds and vision, mm-hmm. he'll always be the sensei to my alter ego character. I appreciate you bringing that up, and it was quite poignant and has stood in the press, and it's nice when something good is caught by the press.
I think part of what's so sweet about that too is part of what I've read is that there was some, I think he had some difficulty landing that role. And
yes.
I think the director of the movie wanted him, and
the producers did not.
Exactly.
Who did they want?
They wanted, at first it was Toshirô Mifune, the great Japanese actor from all the Akira Kurosawa films. Mm-hmm. And he was very good. I didn't read with him. He was very good, but he was very serious. And he didn't speak English. He barely spoke English.
Right.
So he was very broken. And Pat Morita was a case of typecast. You don't want Arnold from Happy Days. You don't want this stand-up comic from the Catskills playing this great character. And it was just – and so I understand that. And then because I get that. Well, he's great. We know Ralph. Well, we don't want him for this because he was that. Mm-hmm. That's just part of it. And I was the same way. Arnold from Happy Days? Oh, this is going to be a disaster. What did I know? Meanwhile, he's nominated for an Oscar in a role that people will remember forever. And it was just the director, credit John Avildsen, took my tape, took Pat Morita's tape, and sat the producer down and said, these are my guys. And the producer watched the tape and said, those are the guys.
So I think that's part of what made what you said so wonderful afterwards. So
no, it's great stuff.
To you.
Great stuff, man.
Well, I know that you have other stops to make. I want to thank you so much for
sharing. But this is the only one I'll remember. How's that? I'm just going to get you all rosy cheeks.
Can you just put that on a loop for me?
That's great. I had a great time.
Oh,
and,
I appreciate that.
Everybody should come down to Wizard World this weekend. Get on out to Rosemont.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
That's
the whole
right.
weekend.
I'll be there. I'll be there. Looking forward to it.
Oh, thank you so much. We wish you the very best and look forward to having you back.
Great. Thanks, man.
More after this on 720 WGN. It was Ralph Maggio in my studio.